Hi, I'm Jeremy Schwartz, host of American Criminal. In our latest season, the child of Italian immigrants sets out to achieve the American dream. And if he has to spill some blood along the way, so be it. Listen to American Criminal, Al Capone, wherever you get your podcasts. Or to get ad-free access to the entire season first, subscribe at IntoHistory.com.
Welcome to the OC Bitches.
Welcome to a very special edition of, well, the OC Bitches.
that is what we do here.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, we're already giggling. My face already hurts.
I know.
Mine too.
We have two. Well, first, it is season 2, episode 16 today, The Blaze of Glory. But
ooh, yeah.
Before we get into the synopsis of this week's episode, two of our most favorite people, not only from the show, but in the world, are here with us today.
Cindy Miggins.
Hi.
Hey, thank you.
And Troy Zestos, our makeup and hair team. Cindy is a 20-year makeup veteran in the biz. Currently, she's the makeup department head on Jimmy Kimmel Live. She was also department head makeup artist on Pretty Little Liars, shows like Fresh Off the Boat, Famous in Love, Faking It, The OC, Chuck, All American, and For the People. Now, Troy, he's got 20 plus years too in the biz and in hair and makeup, and he has a resume just as long. Recent credits include The Woman in the House Across the Street from the Girl in the Window, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Dancing with the Stars, American Horror Story, The Late Show with James Corden, Gone Girl. Your resume is huge.
What's the new show, Troy? It's a late
show. It's Mysterious Benedict Society for Disney Plus, which I tried to get my kids to watch this weekend too, and they made it through 4 episodes.
So. Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you for that. Yeah, anything else that we need to share with the audience of your wonderful accomplishments?
I was just going to say that now that I look back, I wish I was working with this lovely lady more.
Aww.
We always had so much fun every time.
They're a really amazing team. And I'm just going to tell everybody, I took them with me for the pilot of Heart of Dixie in Wilmington, North Carolina.
That was so much fun.
We had so much fun.
Such a blast.
That was
nonstop laughing.
Oh my totally. God.
Constantly. And pranksters.
Oh my God, that's right. So we had Wilson Bethel on this podcast.
Oh, you did.
Poor Cindy. Guy has not forgiven me.
Cindy over here is the mastermind behind the herpes on my lip.
Yes. That, April Fool's, though.
It was April Fool's. that we played on Wilson that he's still traumatized from, which was so good. And it was Cindy's idea.
It's true. I went into the All-American trailer one day, and he was there with somebody. It was for another show that they were using the same trailers, I guess. And he still mentioned it.
It was so good.
And sorry about the leeches and telling you that... Remember?
Yeah, what did you? You told me I had leeches?
Said, you're going to fall into the water. There might be some leeches, but I have leech off. And...
Oh my gosh.
Well, listen, where we were filming in North Carolina, it was like I was laying in mud,
yeah.
In ponds. Yes. I had a tick. I got a tick on me.
Oh.
Do you remember that? I didn't even take it off. We were working so long that at 5 a.m. when we got back to our hotel or whatever, I knew there was a tick on me. And I was like, I'll get it when I wake up. Like,
oh, my God.
That's how tired I was and out of our mind. But we still had fun.
We did have fun. It was so
I remember
fun.
We had an alligator or a crocodile.
Oh, yeah. Burt Reynolds.
Yes, Burt Reynolds.
This is a little trip down Heart of Dixie, Bluebell Lane for a second. But yes, and I was with the alligator in the mud when I got the tick.
Yeah.
This is your first episode of the rewatch of Heart of Dixie. Here you go. Here's the new podcast.
But yeah, it just goes to show how amazing these two are, and I would take them anywhere, anytime. And your life is just so much happier and better when you guys are around.
So sweet. Mm, yeah, we need a comedy.
There,
putting it out there.
Putting it out there.
Yeah.
Yep. There is. I heard once that one of the secrets to a successful film or TV set is. For the crew, you make sure you have good food. For the actors, you make sure you have good hair and makeup. They're the first people that you see in the morning. And it is important that, you know, it can set the tone for the rest of the day because, you know,
yeah.
And you guys are the ones that see us at, we were just talking about this, 4:30, 5:30 in the morning. You're there right with us and putting on the...
Poor Cindy, what, like paint? Coffee breath first thing in the morning, like all up in our faces. I mean, talk about, you know, makeup's really who you get the closest with because you're always face to face, like inches away pretty much all day long for at least 12 hours. Yeah. So you really get to know each other well.
We do.
But yes, we should talk about the OC a little bit.
Yeah, let's talk about how you guys ended up on the show and, you know, briefly how you got into, you know, I think what we like to explore on the show is how people get into this business.
Ooh, that's a good one. Well, I got the OC through Joni Powell, who's department head of the OC, as we all know. And she was interviewing with a woman named Lisa Cochran, who we also know. And in the room, she mentioned, Lisa asked her, so who's going to be your key? And Joni goes, well, I was thinking about bringing in a girl named Cindy Miggins. And she's like, Cindy Miggins! And she goes, oh, well, you might have had the job, but tell Cindy because of her. You didn't get the job, but it was a joke. But I've worked with Lisa Cochran in the beginning of my career down in San Diego on shows like Pensacola, Wings of Gold. I'm not sure if she did 18 Wheels of Justice, but also Jen Anderson, you guys had her as our AD. She was there as well. So it's just basically because of that. And Joni, I met when I did Fastlane with Denise Del Valle.
Yeah, Denise. You know, Denise is another makeup artist.
And I worked with Denise's father's girlfriend, Louise Lasser, and that's how I got a job with Denise. So it's always like a connection, you know? And
it's all about connection.
All about connection. And so I've been with Joni Powell. I was with Joni Powell on the OC for 4 years, also Chuck. And I think that's it. We're still friends and it's wonderful. I'm so grateful.
And when you're a key, you're basically just under department head. You're like the
main. I was a key. I was, I did you and I did Adam and Melinda and
who else did you
Caleb, have? Volchuk. Yeah. I did a lot of like some of the guest stars as well.
You had Peter.
No, Joni
did Peter.
Joni did
Kelly.
The Coens and I did your family.
Oh. No, you did Adam.
Well, yeah, I did Adam, of course.
Yeah, Joni did Sandy and Kirsten and Misha and Ben. I mean, well, I just mixed up characters and real names. We all know who they are.
We do.
Yeah.
We do.
So you tend, for continuity reasons and just for comfortability, it's important to keep that, maintaining that consistency with the same hair and makeup person.
Yes.
Right?
It helps with this department, it seems like, because the families kind of work together even on the scene. So, you know, whoever tends to stay with that family tends to stay the last scene if they're working. And so, you know, so that we could have a little bit of a life. Because during that time, we were working 14, 16 hours a day. You know what I mean? And you need a break.
For sure.
Yeah.
And then, Troy, when you came on this show, well, first you can tell us how you got into this world and the show.
Oh, yeah. So, I went on tour with the Dixie Chicks in 2000. So that was like 20 plus years ago. And then I came to join the union right after that through Donna Peskow, actually. Do you guys know Donna?
No.
No? She's an actress and a director. And she was on Even Stevens. I think that was my first TV show.
Oh, cool.
Oh, but before that I was on as a photo double on Twister, the movie Twister. And then I moved to L.A., I met Helen Hunt's hair and people who I'm still friends with Helen Hunt's
hair. Where are you from again? First.
I'm originally from Michigan, but I was living in Oklahoma.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what
I thought. With Twister, I'm sure you were.
Do I have to admit that?
No, that's fine.
Yeah. And so Daryl Redleaf, do you guys know Daryl Redleaf Fielding?
I know the name.
He does Uma Thurman's hair and Helen Hunt. And that's who I met. And he's like, well, if this is what you want to do, you have to move to LA. So I put my house on the market and I left and I came back for the closing. I didn't know anybody in LA, and I just forged forward. I'm like,
I got to give you props because I think you're one of the hardest working, both of you, hardest working people I know. First of all, you have a salon.
Yes.
A line of products, hair products, and you've always maintained a salon and on set. And a lot of hairdressers have to pick one or the other.
That's true. Yeah. There's not a lot of people that work in the union and in the salon as well. So.
You're busy.
Yeah.
And a father.
And a father of
and
twins.
A father.
I mean, so yeah, the list just keeps on going.
So how did you end up on the OC?
I don't know if I told you this, but Kim called me and told me about you. And she's like, I think you're going to love Melinda. And you got to, I was on something else. I can't remember what project it was. And she's like, I already told Melinda about you. And hopefully you can start this week. And then I had to finish up a project. And then I was starting the very next episode because she wanted me to start on the, you know, fresh with you from the episode.
You came for me?
I think so. Now that I was like, because I was thinking about that. I was like, I remember Kim called me and said, I want you to do Melinda. I think you guys would get along great.
Oh, nice. And she was the department head at the time?
She was the department head at the time.
Right. Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you came on to do Misha.
Probably.
I thought it was for me.
Come on.
Well, I just remember, you did do Misha at one point, right?
Yeah.
And I remember being so jealous.
Aww.
I know. I was like, I
You're
want
so
Troy.
Sweet. Thank
yeah.
Because
I was stuck with some crunchy, crimpy,
I remember.
Half dudes that were questionable at the time.
I know.
The hair evolved. Makeup, I was already in the best hands. So, I mean, Cindy, we were good. But I was like, I want Troy to do my hair.
You came in right when, because I had that big head of extensions. And then Misha got extensions and Kelly got extensions. Everyone started getting extensions. And then I took them out later on. But yeah.
I think Misha got extensions actually mid-episode. I remember we had to hide it and bring it into a ponytail that we kind of like...
Because her hair grew. Well, see, I go away to Paris and my hair grows like 6 inches. And that's what happened.
Hair vitamins.
No problem.
Misha leaves school and comes back and her hair is 10 inches longer. I do remember her cutting her hair as well, like either in a season or...
Oh,
in
that's
the middle
right.
of an episode.
Yeah, so you guys have to get creative when we like to change things up on you in the middle of things.
Okay, how are we going to handle that?
Cindy, do you remember in the beginning how much... Now, we're going back to the first season, but how much the producers wanted everyone to have that tan. It was so hard to maintain.
It was. But you guys were amazing. You guys were always, you know, team players. And, you know, remember we had to do the body makeup all the time and with Viziora. And,
oh, yeah.
But that's
stuff,
great.
I've actually worn that stuff to the beach, I'm going to tell you.
Really?
Well, I did. Viziora is what Pam Anderson would use on Baywatch.
Yeah.
And it's hard. Well, it's not as available, or is it still available?
I don't think they make it anymore. I think it's changed. The company's changed.
It literally, not only, it just smooths everything out. It reflects when you had to wear a bikini, when Julie's running the bikini after Caleb. We spent like, you know, an hour doing that body
blending
makeup.
Blending in that body makeup.
Yeah. And it's waterproof in the water.
Oh, yeah. It was great. Yeah. But that's what the OC was all about. You know, tans and the 90s, right? Was it the 90s?
Was it early 2000s?
Okay, 2000. Something like that. I don't know.
Baywatch was the 90s.
Baywatch was the 90s.
She knew it was in there somewhere. She's going to find it. 90s.
But we started out like really heavy-handed makeup-wise, and you see the progression like as we're watching
the
series.
It
gets softer, a little more realistic, you know, not
a little
as,
less crunchy.
A little, little less crunchy. But yeah, you know, you see the progression and it's fun to watch because the characters kind of evolve with the looks.
Mm.
That's true.
Do you guys have any memories of being in the trailer or on set?
I do have a memory that I was hoping to share with you guys today because I remember we were doing... Do you guys remember when we did the photo shoot in Malibu?
Oh, that was great.
Yes.
With the fire and all that. I got into a car accident on the way there and I didn't let that stop me. I remember my car was like immobile or something and I hit this really expensive Porsche Boxster. So I can't remember how I got there. I like took a taxi or an Uber or whatever it was. And it just turned out to be such a great day. I don't know. It was like, it ended up like so much fun. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
remember
that was a beautiful. I love that. That photo shoot was amazing.
Was it like where all the stairs were?
It was in the beach.
And then we ended up jumping in the ocean at the end. Because I'm like, come on, guys, let's get in the waves.
It was
and
so good.
Like, what?
It was like, I remember coming away with this feeling of like, you know, being at like, for lack of a better word, like a wedding or a reunion or something. It was like not a work day and yet we were seeing everybody from work and it never felt like too much. It was always so much fun. I told you I was going to get emotional.
I know. So
we're
great.
Counting on those tears.
We were just mentioning to somebody that we found that so many people, and I know you've, Cindy and I have remained, we've all remained friends, by the way, for a long time, but almost every single person in here who's talked about how the OC was the start of their career and it was one of their favorite jobs, even after 20 some odd years. Is that true for you guys?
It was my first big union show for sure. And it was like the beginning of my career you know, in the business. I mean, I was working non-union. You have to work non-union in order to get into our union for makeup and hair. And it took me 6 years. And that's when I was working with Lisa Cochran, Jen Anderson, Matt Hinckley, just everybody from the OC. And you kind of like work with them throughout the years. Like I worked with them on Chuck, Pretty Little Liars, you know, and it's crazy. But yeah, that was like my favorite show. The OC.
It's because you did Us.
Of course. Oh my God, yes. Everybody always asks me, you know, who my favorite are, and it's always you two. Yes.
Take
always.
That, Brody.
Sorry, Brody. I still have his jacket. He gave me his set jacket. This says set.
Oh yeah, you left a message for him.
I did. I'm not sure if he ever got it, but
he did.
He listened to all the messages.
And I love it. You know, it's always kept me warm on set, and I always thought of him, and then I could always bring up the story about, you know, Adam and everything else. I just love him too. He's so great. He's so funny. But I loved the moment when we all went to Miami. Do you guys remember that? Did you guys go to Miami?
I went, but I wasn't in the episode, right?
That's right.
Because of you.
Because of me.
We had so much fun, you guys. I wish you were there.
That was so much fun. I think we went out every single night after like 16, 18-hour days. We went out every night.
It was so much fun. Remember the pool?
All of it.
I have pictures of the Fountain Blue.
The Fountain Blue.
An old school Miami, you know, big hotel. It hadn't been redone or anything, I don't think. It was still very like of the time when it was first built.
Yeah.
That's what I remember.
Lots of history in that capsule, for sure.
I was just there with Josh's girlfriend at the time, who was my best friend, and we just went along. We're like, oh no, I was in the episode. I was there. I made sure of it. I was like, oh no, I'm going.
Today's program is brought to you by Athletic Greens, the health and wellness company that makes comprehensive daily nutrition really, really simple.
Simple is huge for me, especially on the go, in the morning with my kid getting her ready for school. I can give myself, my body, all the things it needs nutritionally. With AG1.
One tasty scoop of AG1 contains 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients, including a multivitamin, multimineral, probiotic, greens, superfood blend, and more in one convenient daily serving. The special blend of high quality, bioavailable ingredients in a scoop of AG1 work together to fill the nutritional gaps in your diet, support energy and focus, aid with gut health and digestion, and support a healthy immune system, effectively replacing multiple products or pills with one healthy, delicious drink. I've really committed to a healthy lifestyle, and I'm so happy to have discovered AG1. It's the perfect addition to my day. Feels good to know I am getting all the nutrients I need to thrive every day.
As the research changes, so does AG1. While most nutritional products that come to market never evolve, Athletic Greens continues to obsessively improve AG1 based on the latest research, producing 53 improvements over the last decade and counting.
To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you an immune-supporting free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase if you visit athleticgreens.com/DOC today. Again, simply visit athleticgreens.com/DOC to take control of your health and give AG1 a try. It's so hard to cook or even prepare meals for the week that are healthy and remotely tasty. So if you're looking to update mealtime with healthy options, get a quick start by ordering Sunbasket for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. You know, I really love their vegan and vegetarian meals like the risotto with crispy tofu, yellow squash, and sun-dried tomato, or the Middle Eastern spiced lentil salad with beets, kale, and feta, or my favorite, the plant-based Irish stew with lentils, mushrooms, and root vegetables. Delicious!
Their award-winning chefs are constantly innovating with new recipes and global tastes to keep it interesting each week with dozens of options. I just love that I can switch it up every night. With my daughter, she loves to cook. And this comes, I know we're eating healthy and delicious food. I also like the vegetarian options. My mom's a vegetarian. She's over a lot. And this makes it super easy.
It's fun to cook with your kids.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Whether you eat vegetarian, paleo, gluten-free, or low-carb, high protein, Sunbasket has something to check every box. And you can put dinner on autopilot with easy to prep meal kits that impress for date night or win over the picky eaters in your family.
Right now, Sunbasket is offering $90 off and a free gift when you order. Go to sunbasket.com/OC and enter promo code OC at checkout.
That's sunbasket.com/OC and enter promo code OC.
Wow. Okay. So should we get into the episode?
What, oh, is that what we're here for?
I just know that we'll have some. We'll
Let's go to Starbucks, you guys.
So anyway, blades of glory here.
Blaze.
Like the fire.
Not the blades. That's the other movie.
That is an ice skating movie with Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
Very funny. Okay. Synopsis is, was last year really better? Now that Seth is back with Summer, he can't help but meddle in an attempt to push Marissa and Ryan back together. The opportunity presents itself when Marissa needs help building the bonfire for the spring pep rally, and Seth suggests she ask Ryan. Alex picks up on the lingering feelings Marissa has for Ryan, and when Seth accidentally spills that they shared a tent at the mall together, Alex threatens Ryan to stay away from her girlfriend. Carter goes on a drinking binge, but Kirsten won't give up on him yet. When she finds out Sandy was a fan of Carter's college magazine, she uses it to inspire Carter to stick with Newport Living. Julie enlists Sandy's help to make Lance's threats to release the porn identity go away. Directed by Robert Duncan McNeil. Written by Mike Kelly. Mike said that Josh actually put a lot into this episode. Original air date, March 17th, 2005.
Woohoo.
Wow.
Okay, I'm exhausted.
I know. This was a fun episode. We just had the mall episode. Right.
Do you remember
this?
The mall?
Oh, the mall.
When we shot it at the mall?
Yeah.
Do you? Yeah. Well, because it's a night. Anytime there's a night shoot, it's always, you know, difficult, I would assume.
We erase it from our memory.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is like one of the first episodes that we don't start in the Cohen kitchen. Well, or maybe not first, but.
What? They're back at school, finally. We have not seen them in school for the longest time. You know, it's like Marissa's been hanging out with Alex, and they talk about going to school, but Seth's been at home. It's almost like they've been on spring break, but they didn't say it, you know? So I was like, you know, I was concerned. Hmm. So they're back at school.
I didn't notice that, but yes, they are not in the kitchen. They are at school.
We did have a lot of kitchen scenes.
Yeah. Yes. Always.
Those were fun. Yeah. There's a lot of joking around those kitchen scenes. Not that I was there.
Or me, really. So, Meantime by the Future Heads is the song playing, and Seth and Ryan are walking through school, and Seth is just talking about how great last year was.
So this is very, it's public record that Josh Schwartz listened to the message boards a lot, and this is a very meta description of he wanted to make sure that he was, you know, putting it in there. And Seth was his voice, I think, of talking about how last year was better. And because that's what the audience was saying. Last year was so much better.
The first season was better than the second.
Really?
And so he put it in a lot? Is that what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
And this whole episode, Seth is going on about how last year was the best.
Because, and if you can imagine, I think that's what's kind of really refreshing. We're discovering about, you know, Josh was young. This was his first show.
I know.
And he was like, I'm doing what I want to do. And pushing it with his voice through Seth. And, you know, he's expressed that that's how he got through the show is using Seth as his voice. But he's like, everything was better last year. And now he's got it in his head. He's a bit obsessive about the fact that Summer and I are back together. And you, Ryan, you and Marissa need to get back together. And he's like, yeah, but she's kind of taken. And Seth is instantly like, well, I'm going to see what I can do.
Right. She's with Alex. Did you guys, who did Olivia? Joni.
Joni did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. She was super sweet.
Yeah. She was always so great. And Marissa's dating Alex still. But yeah, Seth won't give up on this. And there's a pep rally that they're talking about. That's going to happen.
For the water polo players. And yes, wait, can we talk about Ryan's hair here?
Oh, sure. I didn't have a lot to do with it. I probably blow dried it for him, but...
It goes through so many different versions over the four seasons. This particular was bangs.
Yeah. Which his hair doesn't really like kind of even lend itself to very well. It takes a little forcing to get that to kind of happen.
Uh-huh.
I like it better shorter and I buff his face a little, you know.
Yeah. I thought he looked cute. I thought he was really cute. I mean, I couldn't believe watching the episode and just seeing all you guys act. It was just so emotional. And I'm like, oh my God, these guys are amazing. Aww. I can't believe it. You know, because like we read the script. I was telling Troy, I'm like, don't worry about it. You know, normally we read the script and we just do your makeups, you know what I mean? And we forget about it. Or we just, you know, now just watching it over again just brought about a lot of memories and how great every single actor was.
Aww.
I mean, I don't understand why we haven't done a reboot.
I think a lot of
Josh,
people.
Hello.
Yeah. A lot a of people wonder.
Comedy reboot in Hawaii is what I was thinking, mainly.
Sounds great.
So, but then Summer shows up to Seth and she instantly is like, don't meddle. And she's like, he's like, no, but they're the perfect couple. And she's like, no, wonderful people. Wait, is that later on?
I think she sees what Seth is up to and she just basically kiboshes it is what's
happening.
She's
like, no, they're combustible. They're not great together. And he does this thing with his hands. you say, you're creeping me out. And I have a feeling that was an improv.
Probably. If I had to guess. Brody, definitely a lot of improv-ing.
Yeah.
And then we go to the golf course with Sandy and Kirsten.
So cute.
That was adorable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cute. Very
so cute. Golf. Peter, oh my gosh.
He plays golf in real life. He's very good. He plays a lot of golf tournaments.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw his son in a movie the other day, and it was just like...
Oh, yeah, Jamie?
Yeah, I couldn't believe how great he was, too. It's like, this little kid, remember he'd come to set, and all of a sudden, he's now the lead actor. And,
what?
You know, it was amazing.
Oh, I knew
his
he was a director.
Too.
Yeah,
you know,
Catherine. Is
Catherine, really?
Yeah, wow. Catherine.
James and Catherine.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So cute.
They work a lot. They're so talented.
So talented.
But yeah, and then they talk about they're dealing with this whole Carter storyline with Billy Campbell. Now, do you remember if you guys did Billy?
I think I did too, Billy. I can't remember.
He definitely is easy on the eyes.
Yeah.
But in this scene, Sandy and Kirsten, obviously, you know, the Rebecca thing happened and they're, you know, I guess they're trying to spend time together. And of course, Kirsten's like, I hate golf. I don't like golf. I'm not good at golf. I don't want to do golf anymore. And you can just see I love them together, the nuance of what they're playing. And Sandy's like, and she's like, I gotta go work on the magazine. And he's got some great lines. He's like the Medusa Monthly. And she's like, no, you know, we're gonna do it about culture and art. And he's like, oh, you mean more like a pamphlet? He's got some great dialogue in here. But you can see that he's, you know, kind of disappointed that you know, this bonding thing. They're just off because of the Rebecca thing. So.
And this was filmed like right next to the studio?
There's a golf course like right next to the studio, just moving towards just west of it.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah.
Is that where they shot that?
Yeah, there was, and actually there's a golf course slash, I think we did the spa there too.
Oh, okay.
If you remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually love the way that Sandy looked at Kristen or, you know, Kelly, right?
Kirsten.
Kristen, yeah, Kelly.
Kirsten.
All right, Kristen.
Kirsten.
Kirsten.
It's not Christy. It's Kirsten.
Yeah. I seriously had to go back and like remember the character names, you guys.
It was
like,
it's a long time. Yeah.
Cindy has a note next to her with all the names in
it. I do.
She did her research.
Written down.
She called me. She's like, are you watching? I'm like, yeah, we're going to watch it tonight. Okay, we're going to watch it. the other day, yeah.
You guys said it was just fun. It's fun. And actually, does it hold up a little bit?
Fun.
I mean, it looks a little dated, but it holds up.
It definitely
holds up.
Yeah.
You're like, it doesn't look dated.
Yeah. Joni shouldn't mean that.
Oh. I loved Rachel in this too, because her comedy was so physical.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you're like grabbing.
Oh, yeah. You're a physical girl.
Yeah, you're like, come on, let's go.
It's like, that's my girl.
That's just real life for you there.
That's right.
And that totally. Also what kind of brought me, you know, down memory lane too, because I remember, you know, how you were. So
how she was every day.
How physical
she was. Physical.
Yeah.
Putting people in headlocks. And
yeah. Just listen. And don't underestimate
Mita.
Little people.
And you're brushing Misha's hair, I think it was. In this
I was
episode,
braiding
right?
it.
Braiding it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember doing
cute.
Scenes in that room where you guys are like picking out outfits. Or
I'm like, Troy, what do I do to her hair? What if there was a place you could thrift your favorite brands from Gap to Gucci? Up to 90% off estimated retail value? At ThredUp.com, get big names in your closet without the big name prices.
ThredUp is one of the largest online thrift stores with over 2 million like new items to shop and thousands of new arrivals every day. It's the best place to shop for your wallet and the planet.
It also has an easy return policy, so they make thrifting worry-free.
I have to tell you, I am a sucker for a sale. So to have something so convenient online that has all the brands I love at amazing prices, I buy too much.
I actually went down the rabbit hole last night looking for Levi's. There were over 3,000 choices. And I was like, I have to get up in the morning and do a podcast. That's a lot of thrifting, all from my house. I didn't have to leave the house.
ThredUp is offering a deal just for new customers. So right now, head to ThredUp.com and get up to an additional 50% off plus free shipping on your first order.
That's up to an extra 50% off plus free shipping on your first order just by heading to ThredUp.com. That's ThredUp.com for up to 50% off and free shipping on your first order. So when I was younger, I had such heavy periods, painful ones. And you know what happens when it's heavy? There's leaks, accidents, throwing away that really good pair of underwear. Or, sorry, honey, I can't have sex. It's that time, you know?
All the things. Now you can have a period product that looks out for your body, your lifestyle, and the planet. Flex. Flex period products are easy to use, body safe, and made for all-day comfort.
The Flex Disc is a single-use menstrual disc that can be worn for up to 12 hours and holds as much flow as 3 super tampons. Don't try that. It's not a cup. It's unlike any other product you've seen before. You just pinch and insert. It's so comfortable. You can't even feel it. And it can even help reduce cramps.
Okay, so I'm a huge fan of this whole method, right? I've been wanting to try it. I've been a little intimidated, but Flex has made it so easy that I can't wait to try it. I mean, you know, sticking things up there, it's always questionable. And you don't want to leave them there. But this, you can. It's great. You don't have to think about it again once it's in.
I'm totally, like, impressed. I mean, 12-hour protection creates 60% less waste than traditional products, fewer cramps, less dryness, and mess-free period sex.
What?
It is so worth trying just for those reasons.
The Flex Cup is reusable and made out of velvety soft material that's 100% body safe. The pull tab makes this cup an absolute game changer. So say goodbye to cramps, put sex back on the table, and lend Mother Nature a hand. With Flex, you can do it all. Go to flexfits.com/OC and use code OC for 20% off Flex Disc Starter Kits or 10% off your first Flex Cup, plus free U.S. shipping. That's code OC to save on Flex at Flex, F-L-E-X, fits.com/OC.
So we're in the school hallway and Seth sees Marissa at the locker and he's like, what do I do? And then of course, he can't help it. He has to meddle and tells Marissa that she should get Ryan to help build that bonfire and don't mention it, especially not to Summer.
Yes.
I actually really love scenes with Seth and Marissa. I think it's so cute. And you don't see them that often. But when they have them, I feel like it's the same with Summer and Ryan. I'm just putting it out there.
And he says, hey, Coop. And she's like, don't call me Coop. That's reserved for Summer.
That's it.
Yeah. Really cute.
It was really cute. Yeah.
And she does have, and I think there's a really cool energy. When I see Seth and Marissa together, it actually reminds me of Adam and Misha, the way they talk. Because they had similar taste in music and
they're friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're at the Newport Group.
Because Julie called Marissa and she hangs up on her.
Right, Marissa hangs up.
And then it switches over.
Brings us to the Newport Group. I just have to... Lance, you know, Johnny...
Messner.
He has a very bedazzled cross around his neck. That was my takeaway from this scene.
Johnny Messner's?
Johnny Messner.
Mine was his glossy hair. I think I did his hair and I think I put something in. It was really shiny. I was like, whoa. Well,
mine was that piercing stare. He's a good non-blinker.
He does not blink. I noticed that in this episode. Anytime he's on screen, he does not blink.
That's like a skill. That's like a Jack Nicholson thing.
He was very method.
Apps.
But I do, there was something that happened. Who edited this episode?
That was edited by Matt Ramsey.
I was going to say, I wonder if it was Matt, because it was a really interesting edit. Because I thought it was interesting the way that the episode, she's on the phone
And it instantly takes us to the Newport group and Julie going, she's a little me. And then the way it was edited straight into the receptionist. Anyway, I thought the editing was quite good here. But
yeah.
What Julie says, she's like, if you're not creepy enough, you just show up, you're creepy, which is, you know, what everyone's kind of thinking right now. And of course, he wants his money. So, you know, she's feeling a little more stressed. Now, that outfit that she's wearing, this hair, which was... I don't know how I feel about this whole thing. I mean, it's very like...
It was elaborate.
It's a lot.
It is
wasn't
a lot.
It? Those yeah. earrings, by the way, I don't wear heavy earrings anywhere because my ears, I've worn heavy earrings like that. And they're about to, like, you can see them like about to
stretch
through.
Hole.
Yeah.
They're like gauges.
Hole. Stretched hole, not to be confused with other areas.
Yeah. And then we cut to the receptionist. The receptionist tells Kirsten, this is funny. Like, Carter, well, first of all, she says there's traffic to get to the office. I don't know how much traffic there was. But anyway, Kirsten, that Carter called at 3:30.
In the morning to cancel.
Cancel work. And meeting. He was slurring. Mm-hmm. She's like, really? Anyway.
So that's been planted.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm looking for by Brendan Benson is playing, and we're back at school, and Summer and Marissa are eating lunch. It's really funny, the whole Coop thing. Like, there's a lot of little jokes here, and how mad Summer is about it made me laugh.
He called me Coop, and she's like, what? Really?
When? When? okay, so then more meddling, of course. Ryan's there, and Seth is just meddling all over the place.
Right. She asks Ryan if he'll build the bonfire. And of course, Summer and Ryan pick up on the fact that, you know, Seth definitely was meddling in that. And
yeah. And Summer and Ryan versus Seth is funny. Also, the high schoolers grilling chicken on a barbecue.
I know.
For lunch at school in high school. Impressive.
That's how fancy it is.
Very impressive.
Very impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
Very upper echelon.
Now, this is the photo. I told you I found a great photo. We'll post it right now here. It's a picture of you looking at Ryan like you're in love.
Well, I am now.
Now, I remember this day because there was something talking about a scene. Now, this scene in particular, I remember working with Peter. And it just was one of those days where the scene just worked really well. And working with a really great actor just elevated the scene, even though it was, you know, the subject matter was right, what
yeah.
it was.
Porn.
Yeah. But you could see there's an ease and it just flowed. And it was like, that's it. That was a good scene and well written. And just the way, Julie chooses to, Melinda, whatever, the way she throws the thing on the desk and Peter's reaction to this box with that, by the way, hats off to our prop master who put that thing together because they pulled
great.
A picture from FHM of me on the back I saw going like...
I just paid attention to your face on the cover with your eyes closed.
Yeah,
I mean,
me too.
That was hilarious.
Do you remember that I was uncomfortable about the whole
yes.
thing? You do?
Yeah.
And I was like, I think it was the actual act of having to do it because we had to shoot the scenes.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
You
but
shot
now,
a porn.
But now I wish I had the prop.
Oh, I bet.
But of that course, she cute. Comes to San
Diego. Look, CG, look what mommy did.
Oh, boy.
It was the 80s.
Oh, right. And I was like, well, she kept saying it. Oh, I'm not going to give you my whole sob story, but it was the 80s. And, well, it was the 80s. And he's like, well, that's understandable. Now, was everyone doing this in the 80s? I mean,
yes.
Or this is Josh's version of like what he thinks everyone is doing in the 80s. But, but she comes to him, asks for help. And I think it's cool that she can come. She, Julie, really. Really think she's part of the Cohen family, although they all talk about her behind the back.
We're back at the library. Seth is hiding behind a book because he knows he's in trouble.
He's reading
Summer's
Turn of the
kick
Screw.
His ass.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she reprimands him. And this library was at Mount St. Mary's where we shot all the school stuff.
It's beautiful. I'm surprised. I don't remember ever seeing it again. And I wonder if it was difficult to actually shoot in there. Because
we
it's a
built
working
on,
library.
On set, we built the lounge with the coffee and some classrooms and hallways
right.
and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we usually only went there for exteriors. But
right,
yeah,
right.
we were in the library. And when I call him an asshat, I think that's my favorite term of endearment.
Right. No, I mean, this is where I think you're like, you don't get it separately. I love them both, Marissa and Ryan. But together, it is awful. Do you not remember? And he was like, no, it was great. He actually says it was great. And he's so obsessed with getting it back there. This little Seth, he's like trying to bend the world to his will. But it's also Josh letting the audience know that we're trying to get them back together. Hold on to your seat.
Right. I like this whole like Carter storyline that's unraveling. You hear the music, the Pixies are playing.
Debaser, the Pixies.
And Kirsten's
great, great
going.
Great neighbor with that music playing.
Kirsten's going to confront Carter. And you hear the music and you're like, oh, he's come undone. But yeah, I like it. He's very attractive.
Well, cute. There's something about, I wrote, why do men always look cuter in old 501s and messy hair? But they do. But he's literally, so now we very quickly get, you know, what's going on with this guy. It's my wedding anniversary and you're divorced. Well, yeah. And, you know, and he's kind of rude to Kirsten.
He's kind of drunk. Yeah.
And self-pitying. Mm-hmm. And he's actually doing pretty well for a bender that he's maintained, it sounds like, for about 24 hours or something.
Yeah. And this was shot in Redondo Beach. It looks like an apartment that was pretty much on the beach.
It's a real apartment. Yeah.
Nice place.
Yeah. Don't go knock on the door, people.
We didn't say where. We didn't give an address. No. This next scene in the Cohen house, and Seth is watching the valley and comments that last year was better on the valley as well. There's a lot of last year was better. We
Josh
really drove
like
it home.
Yeah. Reoccurring theme there.
Yeah. Reoccurring theme.
He's like, guess what? We're reset. You know, that's okay. That's what, you know, we reset with the Malpisode. Now we're resetting again and we're getting back to our roots.
Yes. And so Sandy's leaving them to fend for themselves. And I thought it was interesting that Seth asks his dad if, you know, his mom's been working a lot. Is everything okay? I'm like,
it takes a lot.
Very mature for a kid to be like, is everything okay with you and mom?
Well, and for someone, I mean, look, it's not just Seth. I did some research. psychologically, teenagers are narcissistic. Like, they are self-absorbed. It's how we become human beings. And Seth is one of those. So for him to actually notice what's going on with them, he must. Well, no, I think it, I mean, kids just notice that stuff.
Right.
And, you know, he's definitely like, oh, no, just busy with work. But yeah, he's not sharing. Definitely not sharing. But
Ryan's going to help Marissa with the bonfire. And he sees Captain Oates and asks if he can borrow him. More on that later.
Well, he asks if he can borrow him. And then what does Seth do? He says to Captain Oates, now, if he does anything inappropriate.
If he touches you anywhere.
He goes, just nay.
Just nay.
And then Ryan or Ben just flat out punches him so hard. And I think that's a blooper. And I know that's a blooper because I think there's a bunch of them where Adam's saying all kinds of different things and he's kissing the horse. And anyway.
Oh my God, he was so good at all those improvs. Adam?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was like, where does this guy get these? They're
even
at hilarious.
At the end of this scene where he pretends to cry, like it hurts, like he's taking Captain Oates and he hurts.
It looked like a real hit.
Yeah, I think he really hit him.
It was. And I felt it.
I'm so surprised. This is the first time Ryan's ever done that. But the return of the Iron Fist, right? What's his character in the comic book?
Kid Chino.
Kid Chino, yeah.
Phew. Wow.
Jeez.
I remember something.
You pulled him.
You give yourself golf more credit.
Golf lab.
Yeah, golf lab. You need to give yourself more credit.
Oh, God.
Boy. Okay. Anyway.
So you show up. Julie shows up at Alex's apartment.
Now, I remember this one, too, because this whole episode. I love this scene,
by the way.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
I had a terrible cold.
I was going to ask you because I could hear your voice was a little nasally. I was wondering.
I had a cold and it was so bad that particular in this scene that it's, you know, it always sounds worse in your head. I'm like, I'm going to.
I think it made you sound kind of more emotional.
Oh, yeah. Like she'd been crying.
Yeah.
But this was an interesting scene because she was like, first of all, she's like, whoa, hello, I haven't been vaccinated. What do you want?
Weird.
Isn't that funny?
What vaccine are they referring to?
No, she's saying you're contagious and you're, you know, I remember, you know, there was just like, no, I don't have the Julie Cooper vaccination.
That's
back
hysterical.
Off. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that was crazy.
Right, right. But then she's like, and she says, well, I could call the cops. And Marissa's like, I'll call them on you. Tell them all about you. And I was like, about what? Like, Luke? Is it because of Luke? He was 18. And then she's like, I'll cut up your credit cards. But they go back and forth.
Yeah.
And she, you know, she said she's a little me. And it's interesting throughout this whole thing that as frustrating as Julie is, she's right. She's right about all of this stuff with Marissa. But, mm-hmm. you know, she just, you know. So
I wondered, too, if there was a little bit of like maybe Marissa has a little bit like caught wind, a little bit of like there's something that you were hiding, meaning the video. But that never, it never came
up. I like that story. I like that version of the episode where she knows the porn is out there.
Or even if she doesn't know, she knows it's something, but she doesn't know what it is.
But her Mom's threatening, even if Julie could defend, but the fact that she's like, I'll tell her all about you, tell the cops all about you. She, you know, Marissa's like, I could make something up to just make your life hell. That's True. How bad I don't want to, you know, make you happy or give you what you want. But, right. you know, just come home, you know. Because I was like, she is skipping school. And I was like, you know, how is she getting away with all this? Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Alex has kind of caught wind that something's up with Marissa. She's being distant and whatever. So she shows up to Seth's room to kind of ask what's up.
She just appears, of course.
Appears at his door. We always talk about how everyone just shows up at everyone's bedroom door.
A gated community.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Surprise!
Never hear a door slam.
Nope.
she says, I need advice. And of course, teenage brain Seth goes, pictures, videos, what do you, you know.
That was she so goes, cute.
And then of course, out comes the pillow. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're cute. The scene was cute.
I need advice with Ryan.
He slips and says that Marissa and Ryan slept in a tent together at the mall. I'm sorry. They were in a tent for 2 minutes. Seth, like now I'm summer, like annoyed. I'm like, Seth, what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing?
So yeah, so now she learns of that. All and hell's about to break loose. And Ryan is with Marissa at Alex's apartment and they're working on the model for the bonfire. Which is why he took Captain Oaks.
I was going to say, inspired by Captain Oaks.
Inspired by Captain Oaks. Let's build a horse.
I had a theory that if Josh were here, I'd ask, like, why Trojan horse since they're the pirates? And I thought...
They are?
Uh-huh. So I thought, you
Doesn't she have a sweatshirt that says Trojans? Or maybe it says Harbor. It says Harbor.
It's the Harbor Pirates. But right. Josh has always said...
Well, he's USC.
Okay, there you go.
That's why.
And
I mean, I'm just guessing.
Probably. But he also said that this show, even though it was kind of packaged as a 90210, it was a Trojan horse with the adult storylines and the comic. And that he always knew that he'd kind of go against. He wanted it to be more like Freaks and Geeks as opposed to 90210.
Hidden meanings everywhere.
Okay. Yeah, I was always wondering about Easter that. Eggs. Why the horses?
Right. Well, and this is also, I mean, I don't know. First, a bonfires have been, I think, high school traditions, but usually, you know, maybe for homecomings or such.
It reminded me of like Coachella or Burning Man.
Yeah, right. And the fact that these
because
kids are allowed
massive.
To have.
Yeah.
Anyway. And allowed to have a fire on the beach like that?
Nope. No.
Not anymore. Yeah.
But unless you're a pyrotechnic.
That big?
I think he could back in the day.
Really?
Yeah.
Back in 2000
the
20s? BC.
not Malibu.
Back in my day when I grew up.
In the 90s.
Okay. Top water. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so they're building the scale model.
Yep.
And Marissa and Ryan are together. Thank and you. As much as I actually was there for the Alex-Marissa thing, I really love seeing these two back together.
Yeah.
Just enjoying each other. Yeah. And Troy and Cindy are holding hands.
We're back together too. Yeah.
Okay,
let's
all hold hands.
Hey. And we're like COVID.
It's COVID.
So Sandy shows up at Lance's. He's rocking out to Rocky Like a Hurricane. There's a hooker there as well. Just, you know, to paint a picture.
and now we know. Nothing phases Sandy. Do you see how he's like, I've seen the
lawyer.
I'm a lawyer. He's like, he's got a, you know,
right.
three-way is going to cost more.
Yeah. Out a three-way, it's going to cost you extra.
But we see now that Sandy has taken it on and he's your lawyer. So this next thing that happens, Ryan is leaving not leaving Marissa's. Ryan is leaving. Oh, yeah. It is Marissa's because she lives with Alex. Alex's apartment. And Alex, learning of the tent, is pissed. She's like downing beers in her car, crushing them.
right.
And she's pissed.
She's a jealous girlfriend.
That's right.
But
that's right.
And Ryan and Marissa are having this moment and they're finding out that it was Seth's idea and they're like, he's meddling, he's trying to push us together. And they're like, you know, and because it's that moment of like, because, yeah, that's silly. That's crazy. But of course, it gets their wheels turning and a little hug. And Alex sees all that.
Yeah. And then Alex goes after Ryan.
Yeah.
Like full on.
Throws that beer bottle or at whatever that can at his
head. And almost hits his head. She's very intense. Like, I want to know, do you guys feel like she is right in her actions or do you think she's overreacting?
Overreacting for sure. Yeah. You don't do that.
No.
Yeah. Well, you don't throw beer cans in.
Not these days, honey. Back in my day,
back in
maybe.
The 90s.
So let's talk about this because now Stephanie has said that they were sad. They had to write out Olivia's storyline pretty quickly and they were kind of sad about that. So, but we haven't seen this kind of behavior from her, but she's fallen for this girl hard. And it feels almost kind of out of character. But then again, I believe the character doing this. But she's highly strong and somewhat violent against Ryan. And this is one of the reasons Olivia is Alex and wasn't Marissa. She wasn't cast as Marissa. Like this, she's believable in this, pushing Ryan. And when he says, walk away.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
What a gentleman.
Would you, it's one of those things because, and she goes, I'm gone. Because she literally just put hands on him three times and
really pushes him.
And what is that? But is that a warning? Like, you keep doing that, I'm going to have to defend myself? Or is it, you know, nowadays it's like, men can overpower women. And it was like, ooh, that's like, he's just like, stop, walk away. Please don't escalate this. Because you can't put your hands, whether you're male or female, you can't put hands on people.
No.
Right?
Mm-hmm. No.
So he was correct. Right in saying, walk away.
Yeah.
Right. I thought that she was also kind of bringing it down to his level of like fighting. Remember? Because he used to be fighting all the time, right?
Yeah.
And so she put it in a language that he understood.
Yeah. Right.
And and I thought that it was really big of him to not touch her and just to say, walk away.
Obviously,
it's
you
hard
never
for
know.
Like, also to do that too.
They
can't. You know what I mean?
Because. Yeah.
Guys could antagonize women to be more violent at times like that, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But, you know, it's one of those things that men, yeah. No, it's a touchy thing when that happens. But
yeah.
I thought it was really interesting just that I was like, it was a little scary. It's like, walk away. Like, what, Ryan, you would never touch her, would you? But
yeah.
She was being strong.
Yeah. I think that was his way of de-escalating it, saying, you need to walk away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if she did,
He wasn't threatening
her. He was going to walk
away.
Right?
He wasn't
going to,
yeah.
Okay. I think that was his way of saying, you need to walk away.
Yeah.
And if she didn't, he would walk away.
Oh, you do?
Hopefully.
Yeah, I think so.
I guess you couldn't really, couldn't get away with that.
I don't think he would hit a girl.
No.
I don't think so.
No.
We're in the Cohen bedroom and Sandy and Kirsten, it's morning. They both missed each other because they were both working. And, this is where they discuss Carter and what has he done. And she names off all the big ones. GQ time, all this. And then she mentions Revolution and Sandy perks up like, oh my gosh, I love that.
I
it was for
Revolution.
the beatniks and the losers or, you know.
So we have a little kerfuffle in the kitchen, Cohen kitchen.
Yeah.
Between Seth and Ryan. Seth is, you know.
Slicing a bagel the without the guillotine.
The bagel guillotine. Yes. And... Ryan gets mad at Seth because Seth is really pushing the Marissa thing. And he yells at him.
He says, he says something about a tent. And he finally says, stay out of it. That's like how he gets through to Seth.
Yes.
Although Seth really was, he really did make an act. He did. It was an accident.
Yeah.
He wasn't intentionally doing it. Right?
Mm. It just came out.
Sure it was.
It just came out.
Yes. Okay, so then at Alex's apartment, Marissa gets a voicemail, and it's from Ryan. She lies to Alex and says that it's her mom. Ryan's saying that he can't go to the bonfire.
You were asleep when I came in last night, because you were sleeping at the mall, and you were in a tent, because she said in the mall. That's why I thought she said it. She's like, because you were at the mall in a tent, and you lied. She did lie. But this is not just, like, calling somebody out. This is... Alex getting aggressive.
Alex is super jealous.
Yeah.
So, but she really is in love with Marissa.
Although, yeah, and I think what's interesting is that I guess the honeymoon is over because Marissa is, she hasn't been back to school. And because she's back to being social chair and she's doing all of these things, I think basically what we found out is, you know, scared and overwhelmed at living life with her, that honeymoon is definitely over. And everyone's feeling it.
Reality set in.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Well, you want to talk about you and Sandy? What's happening?
You don't want to talk about it.
No, I just have to pee, so I'm rushing. Oh,
why don't we pause so you can
pee? It's okay. I'm good. It's giving me energy. That's my acting teacher always told me in high school. I had to pee before I like went out on stage. She's like, use it. Use that energy.
What? To be the shaky leg?
Yeah. So I got crossing your legs and holding your crotch really works well in the crucible.
Yeah. I saw a picture of that. I remember that. Okay, so Sandy, you know, tells they're back. Okay, this is what I wanted to talk about. So, so we're back at, Julie is at Sandy's office, and Sandy tells Julie that Lance owns the rights to the movie and he can do what he wants. He actually turns out to be a businessman. The only option is to sue him, but she doesn't want to do that. She doesn't want to go to the feds. And this is where he says, you know, when Seth did this, it was the messenger, not the message. So he gives her the idea. But this is where I wanted to talk to you because on that day, first of all, I love that outfit. This is one of my favorite looks for Julie with that hair and that, I think it's a Diane Van Furstenberg. So in the logistics of shooting, right? The scene that we saw before was with the white outfit and the scarf and the hair. But we would shoot those on the same day. So Troy, we probably actually had to shoot. And that's like a big changeover.
Yeah.
We try not to do that.
No, we try to minimize it. I mean, that's one of the things in our job is to, you know, break down the script and break down the looks and be able to tell production, okay, we can go from this look to this look, but here's where you're going to save time is if we could shoot it this way.
And I think that's, I would have imagined if we could shoot that scene out of sequence. Obviously, we'd like to go in order, but you would shoot that scene first. And tell them, you'd have to let them know, we need at least a half an hour to 45 minutes to switch it over. And that's where they have to figure out, okay, we're going to go to this scene or something. Because they like to shoot the same setup.
Right.
Right.
And while they're doing lights, we're working. I have a feeling that's why that hairstyle. So we started with that big hair.
Yeah.
And then we flipped.
Yeah. I think so, too. I think we started with the bigger hairstyle and then...
And went to the little curl.
Exactly.
I think so too.
I think so too.
Well, because otherwise you're talking about an extra, you know, 45 minutes, which you just don't have.
But it looks like a completely different day, but it was the same eye makeup.
Yeah.
Remember?
We stuck with the same, almost. Yeah.
We tried.
We changed it up.
Yeah.
Green, purple.
Sometimes.
Forest green.
Well, I did a lot.
Emerald green.
To do my own sometimes.
Oh, yes.
I didn't like to sit still.
You were great.
Okay.
No, you were. Anyway. It was awesome.
Okay. You're like, I didn't have to do anything.
Some people like to do their own things. I mean, I think if I was in a chair, I'd probably do my own mascara or liner.
Right.
You know, it all depends what makes an actress feel comfortable. And, you know, ego needs to be out the door.
Right.
Never in the trailer, I don't think. It's not about us.
I don't think. Did
it's
I do
about
anything
you guys.
Myself?
Maybe,
no. No, right?
Mm-mm.
You would even like pluck my eyebrows. Cindy spoiled me.
There's something about I like to stand. I don't know. We do certain things or you're doing makeup and getting hair done at the same time. Sometimes we have to double team
exactly.
because
of time.
Do it faster.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway.
One thing I really liked is when my actress was really just focusing on their lines and almost kind of tuned me out. I don't know about you, but I liked that because I felt...
They tuned me out.
It made me feel like a sense of trust.
Hmm.
You know?
That's a positive way to look at it. Instead of like, they just ignore me. Like, pretend I don't exist.
I was a toucher, wasn't I? I would mess with my hair a lot.
Yeah, but not in a bad way.
I would always learn my lines in the hair chair.
That's what I like. I like that.
I like my actors shutting up. I love it when you guys sleep.
Yeah.
I like it.
My favorite is when you're just like zonked out.
Well, your chairs are almost like the old barber chair. Some actors would lie back and fall asleep, wouldn't they?
Depends. Yeah, especially if it's early, you know, or exhausted.
Yeah. I used to work on that show, Roseanne, with Roseanne, and I remember she would write the show as well. And sometimes I was like doing her color or doing her hair, and she would just say it out loud. And then if I laughed, she would go, "You think that's funny?" And I was like, "Actually, I do." And she's like, Good to know. Like, we'll keep it in.
So you're the reason for all the success and the jokes.
I actually it's like true. It too when we could sort of like, you know, do the lines. I think we did a couple times too, you know, yeah. The lines back and forth.
Run the lines with me.
Yeah, run the lines. I always thought that was so much fun. Yeah. I don't know why, I just loved it.
So it's the next day and the dude, Carter, is still playing music. When Kirsten goes to drop off a copy of his magazine, Revolution.
What did he do the night before?
I mean,
well, he's been on a bender.
I would not want to live next to that dude.
No. And now we're in Summer's room where I'm braiding Marissa's hair.
Over and over again.
Yes, it takes a very long time to get it just right. And then I learned that, Marissa says that Alex realized that her and Ryan slept in a tent together. And I'm like, what? How would he? And I'm like, I'm gonna fucking kill him. And then I like leave to go reprimand Cohen. But my favorite line in this scene was like, "You can't ride two horses with one ass."
It's a proverb.
Talking about Marissa and Alex and Ryan.
But talking
about Marissa and Seth. And no, I'm just kidding.
But it's a sweet scene how she basically says, "Why don't you go home?" Like, you know, Summer's a good friend. She's not telling her what to do. She's not judging her. She says, "Well, you know, maybe you want to go home." And she's like, "It would make my mom too happy," which is what Julie's saying. She'll think I won.
Now, these bangs have just appeared on me. These like side swept bangs, like a couple episodes back. And I have no idea where they came from.
You probably trimmed them.
I saw that too. I didn't remember you ever having bangs.
Well, there was the clip-in catastrophe of 04.
Was that
season
bad.
One? Was that season one? Yeah.
It was at the beginning of this season because we were in the bait shop.
Oh, right. Yes. Josh's hate.
He was so mad he made her take it off for the rest of the episode.
Yeah. So one scene I have these like bangs that look like a dead bird and then they're taken out.
And then we never see them again.
No. But somehow I have like bangs.
I know. That was a surprise to me when I saw this episode.
Yes.
I
okay.
I didn't remember that.
So she's off to go kick Seth's ass.
Yeah. And Marissa's like, "Whose ass?" And I'm like, "You know."
Okay.
So this is kind of, now this is the beginning of Julie asking Ryan for help, knocking on his door, going, "Oh, sorry to interrupt your brooding session or whatever it is you're doing." She gives him that. And she says, "You know, I need your help with Marissa." And this is where we learned, you know, she says she's been skipping school. I'm like, thank God somebody noticed. But Julie's not doing anything about it. Skipping school and her life's going down the drain. You know it. And Ryan's like, "I am not getting involved." And
what does he do?
He gets involved.
Oh.
Next thing you know, he's at Alex's.
Oh, right.
And he's barging in looking for Marissa. And she's like, she's threatening him. She's like, "Oh, this is how you stay away, right?"
Right. She's like, "If you go to that bonfire." So she threatens him.
It's on.
And now we're at the bonfire.
but he also says, "If you got to work this hard, it ain't working." And this is where I'm like, ooh. He said, it's like, this is last season. Here Ryan is back saving Marissa. Here he is saying, "This is what I know really well. I just hit Seth. I'm back."
It was the Seth hit that did it, huh?
Yeah.
So we're at the bonfire prep, and it's a mess. Like, Marissa is in over her head. Clearly, they were Ryan's plans, and everyone's asking her questions.
The extras were extra. Well, sorry, background. They were like,
but thankfully Ryan shows up and takes over, and man, love a man who takes charge.
He had the funniest things to say. "You girls go ho over there." And you know, did you hear him giving directions?
Yeah. That was kind of cute.
Oh, you gotta, that was cool.
Put the tail on the head on the tail. You gotta reverse it, and you guys ho over there.
Ho over there.
It just made me think of nights.
Night shoots.
Because
in Malibu. Oh,
anytime you see a night.
Freezing.
Scene that took a few minutes meant that you guys were there until 6 a.m. at night.
Yeah,
and I think Seth and I just come in at the end. Yeah,
and you guys are in little cute little outfits. You know,
that was always my pet peeve. Everybody behind the camera is in like North Face, like floor length and beanies and gloves, and we're like in bikinis. We're like, oh god, it's so cold.
I'm pushing you away from the heaters. Don't take my heat.
Oh geez, I don't miss that.
Those heaters where you catch on fire if you get too close. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That has happened.
Okay, so now we're at Kirsten's office and Carter.
It worked.
Yeah, it worked. He shows up clean shaven and dressed and, you know, he's like...
ready to roll.
He's like, she shares, he's like, who, you know, how'd you find this? And she shares that Sandy is a crusading idealist who remembers every word from the magazine as if it were yesterday.
So he finds out it was her husband. What I thought was interesting was when he was like, well, I'd love to meet him. She doesn't even
answer.
She doesn't want
to meet. And he's like, and then at the end, he says, well, I'm at Julie Cooper and you're at, what does he say? Subversive and controversial. And she's, where are we? We're lost. But as the camera pans Kelly's face or Kirsten's face, it is like a schoolgirl crush. I just love the little details that Kelly puts in, all of her little nuance. It's like, I mean, he really is another version of Sandy. But new and fresh and shiny after a little hangover. But it reminds her of the old days,
yeah,
I guess.
Probably.
Something.
Well, Cohen's house. Summer shows up.
Here's my moment, guys. This is a, I got to send you a link to it, but it's literally you coming in and doing that, whatever you call it, a hammer.
I remember I like pull his arm behind him and I remember like when I went big with it and Brody would just start cracking up.
He couldn't. Because I think because they were trying to sell that it actually hurt, but he was like, I don't feel
he wanted to, he's like, like flick me away like a flea, you know? Yes, it did hurt, okay? I can cause some pain.
Yeah. And they we have an emergency. Break out your hose, Cohen. And he does the, of course, like, we know what that means. Oh, stop it.
Bloopers galore.
Bloopers galore. Sandy does something really smart. He hands Lance one of the same prop contracts from every television film ever in the history of, like, you know, they all have that blue thing.
Yeah.
But he's like, you're starting a film company?
Wait, but is he really going to get him $500,000? There has to be a loophole or a trick here.
You don't know what's coming up, do you?
Of course I don't.
Okay. Well, you're just going to have to wait and see.
Okay, we'll wait and see.
But this is smart because Julie doesn't want to go to the feds. He literally is creating a film company, gives him a down payment. And Lance goes, whoa, I don't know why, but he's like, okay, I'll take the bait or I'll take the contract and I'll get this in 2 weeks.
Because he's finally getting some money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's going to get.
He's also doing it while not blinking.
So, yeah, I thought that was kind of a smart thing.
I thought so, too. I thought that was a clever way to.
You know, Sandy should be a lawyer.
Yeah.
He should be.
You know?
He should be a fixer. He should be Ray Donovan. But then, of course, it cuts to Julie, or Sandy's talking to Julie on the phone. And I was like, oh, what a great outfit. We only get to see it for 2 seconds. But we spent a lot of time getting ready, didn't we? For that little scene.
We sure did.
2 second scene. But she's saying, and Sandy had so many great lines. You know, he's like, I'll talk to the colonel. You know, Boogie Nights, Boogie Nights reference, get used to it. Although there were no more. And then he says, she's like, oh, God, I'm so screwed. And he was like, I know. I saw the footage. Which I'm like, Sandy, did you need to watch it? Did you need to?
Yeah. Did you have to see all of it?
But apparently. He decided to see it. But Julie's like, yeah, okay.
We're at the pep rally. And it's going great until Alex shows up with her dudes. Her tough guys.
Her ex-cons.
Who are very tatted. Now, I would imagine you probably...
I wonder if we did.
Put the tattoo... Well, they definitely... Yes.
Yes.
I would say yes.
Yes. Okay. Why do they look fake?
I mean, knowing Ryan, I didn't think they were much of a threat.
No.
I didn't think so.
Well, they were taller. Longer hair.
But of course, they start you know, pushing, shoving, and Marissa's like, stop it! And the cheerleaders who are doing this fabulous dance in the background, which was choreographed, I'm sure, for the pep rally. And they all stop. And she's like, oh, no, not you. Go Harbor. She did a great job.
Yeah, she did.
Go Harbor. And then, of course, Ryan,
like the wrist cuff.
Yeah. Alec, and they take off. You want to talk? Let's talk. then the girls walk off and Brian's like yes. a wrist cuff.
A Smile That Explodes by Joseph Arthur is playing, and Joseph Arthur was a big, from the pilot, his Honey in the Moon song was like the song of the pilot. So he's back here with his song, A Smile That Explodes, which is beautiful. And Marissa and Alex are arguing and coming to the realization that, you know what, it's just Alex doesn't fit into Marissa's life. It's just not working.
This scene was so well written and well acted by the ladies. She says, you know, it's instead of, Marissa doesn't say, I don't have those feelings for you. But she says, this is my life. Do you fit into it? And she's like, no, I don't. And Marissa, Misha's so good at that tear, man.
I always thought she was. She could cry on cue like no other. Envious.
Yeah. And I think it was a really interesting, you know, they agree that they're not,
it's not
right
working
for each other. And yeah, it was really heartfelt.
It but was.
I got to say, I kind of like those red burgundy Uggs. Those are cool.
Who was wearing them? Marissa?
Marissa. Huh. Yeah.
I didn't notice, but they sound cute.
I think we found out that they actually made them for Misha. They would make them, make her special
really?
Ones. Remember, Carla told us that last week.
Custom design.
Yes.
The Ugg would make them for Misha Barton.
So then we see this bonfire. Okay, so this is obviously Alex apologizes to Ryan. We're saying bye to Alex, which is very sad.
And she says that, you know what, maybe I'll go back home. Maybe this inspires her to go back home.
To high school even.
And go, I mean, she got her GED, but maybe go back to school.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, it's basically a finality that where she's taken off. She's going
leaving.
Home in school, so we're not going to see her anymore.
She won't be around at the bait shop.
No, but
whatever.
You know where she went?
No.
Onto a huge movie career and a director in Harry Styles.
That's where she went.
Yes. Is that where
she
went?
I was wondering.
Jeez, like she left OC? What the?
So we come to this bonfire that we spoke of before. Literally, like, I'm like, am I watching Mad Max Fury Road? Because it's like, what is happening?
Well, and the fact that the gasoline, you know, there was no adult supervision.
You know what?
It was.
And it was very skillfully built, and it apparently took them a couple hours.
You know,
high schoolers.
You know the pyrotechnics on film and television?
Yeah.
They love setting things on fire. And if I don't know what they'd be doing if they didn't have this job, but they... clearly you have to have permits for all of that.
Definitely.
Big deal. And you have fire departments there. It's not like the second, you know, it's very, very regulated. And you could even see on set, they made this little, you know,
perimeter
for people to stay back.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Yeah. City permits, everything you have to have
in
order to do that.
I do remember that part, actually.
You do?
Yeah. I remember that. I remember thinking,
details?
Fire? We're going to have a fire here? Oh my God. And now, of course, Malibu, I feel like it's so flammable.
Yeah, you couldn't do anything. Yeah, it's very flammable.
Yeah.
So there are certain beaches, there's a lot in Orange County where there's fire rings and you can have a small fire on the beach in the fire ring at certain time, you know, till 10 p.m. But other than that, can't do it. So... there's some great dialogue, guys. I'm sure we missed some things, some of your favorite things, but that is our episode.
Wow.
The Blaze of Glory.
We did it.
Yeah, we did it. Did you have anything favorite from this episode or outfits or anything or hair?
Oh, wait, what about like your favorite looks you ever did on the show?
Anything that pops into your head?
That's more general.
Well,
I know what yours is, Cindy.
What? Let's see.
Wonder Woman.
I do love Wonder Woman.
Nod.
I do love that Wonder Woman episode. Because I thought you two were just so great. And Adam was such a trooper being upside down for so long with the rain. That was
Spider-Man.
I mean, Spider-Man. Sorry. Yeah. With the rain. And, you know, that's hard to do.
You're like so many superheroes. I can't keep track.
I can't.
Couple different seasons, but that's okay.
Hey, Pretty Little Liars mixed up with you guys. You're so great with Arya. Arya and you.
Hey. I'm like, who's that?
So you texted me. First of all, some of the photos that I get from Cindy created a memory book, a photo album. So some of the photos that you saw of the dogs and everything were because Cindy has these photos, and then I posted some on Instagram. But you sent me some ideas about guests for the show because you said you've worked with all those young ladies that got their start on the OC, which were, you said, Bella Thorne.
Bella Thorne was there. I'm not sure she got her start there, but she was like 13 years old. Yeah.
Lucy Hale.
Lucy Hale, Ashley Benson, Janelle Parrish.
They were all on the OC?
They were on, they were on it. Mm-hmm.
So they're coming up.
Yeah.
In the episode, I think, when there's kids, when they play you guys. Didn't Lucy play her young or something?
I can't even remember. I can't remember.
But there was an episode where there were young versions of everyone.
Yeah. But Bella Thorne was on there. Remember? Do you remember her?
I remember you telling me that before.
She played young Autumn.
Right.
Reaser or Taylor Townsend.
Yeah.
Like the smart one. Yeah. Anyway.
No, but it was great. I mean, it was such a... I remember, I mean, like makeups were just, you guys were basically the smoky eyes for you, right? And just your makeup was...
I have hooded eyes.
Yeah.
So it was always like, you could put a lot of makeup on because they would it would disappear.
Mm-hmm.
But you always liked the rimming with the...
I kind of did, I
kind of did it today for you. And I did big hair for you, Charlie.
I know. I was just going to say, I think there were so many iconic looks that came out of the show and from you guys. I want to say you invented the kind of balayage highlighting technique too.
Well, I have a secret for you.
Tell me, because I honestly think you were the first person that ever brought that up.
Really?
Yeah.
The lighter tips?
Yeah.
Like the ombre that like, they call it?
Yeah, ombre, exactly.
I just would never color my hair so it would grow out.
I know, but I don't remember anybody doing it before you.
Really?
No.
Well.
Wait, have you ever been blonde?
I have, and it just ruins my hair.
Yeah.
It just, No, I can't. I don't know. You think about what are you going to do getting into, am I going to be a gray fox? I don't know. You start thinking
you'd
about.
You look good. You'd look good if you let it go gray.
Yeah. I colored it yesterday.
I mean, the blue eyes.
I'm fighting it. I'm gray right now. I could be gray right now, but nope,
no.
I'm fighting it.
I'm more, you know what? I'm like Bride of Frankenstein.
I've got many grays.
Oh, do you?
I need to get my hair colored.
Your hair looks...
I also want to point out that, you know, Troy is so beloved that Tate's was a client of yours for years. Mm-hmm. And when he comes to town, he still shows up.
I just saw him, a few months ago for Respect, the premiere of Respect.
And you just saw Misha a few years ago, too.
Yeah. It was so good to see Misha.
We just don't live near each other anymore.
I know.
So
I know.
But yes, he was my hairstylist and my daughter's hairstylist and friends and all that. Anyway.
You guys.
What?
I still have some of the clothes y'all gave me from the OC I still wear.
How does everybody have clothes from the OC?
Like the Juicy Couture jacket you gave me. I still love it and wear it. All the stuff that you've given me. Yeah. You guys were like the most generous out of everybody I know.
That's why I don't have any of it. Now I know.
Yeah, sorry. No, you would be like bundles, like go through the clothes and you know see if you want anything. I'll be like,
anyway, we digress. We have voicemails for you guys. Do you want to listen to some voicemails and answers?
I saw that up on the screen and I was like reading it again. Like maybe I was thinking that voicemail. Oh my gosh, I'm a little nervous. Aren't you?
Yes.
We got to hold hands for this.
Hi, my name is Lorraine. I was just wondering, what are some of your favorite products?
Products?
Products.
Your own line?
I have to say, yeah. So I think, was it Elnett? There was like a favorite hairspray I remember
Elnett.
Using. Yeah. I really loved using that on set because it was so brushable. Yeah. But in setting the hair, I do have to say that I do love my volume heat protection because it takes away the flyaways. Gives the hair a little bit of support, whether you're using an iron for heat or to straighten. It does either one. And then it gives it a little bit of traction, you know, right at the scalp when you want to, like, blow dry it and you don't want it to just, like, roll right through it. It gives you, like, a little bit of traction, a little tension.
That's what I mean. Name of it and where can you get it?
Oh, well, it's at chroma-style.com and it's called Volume Heat and there's free shipping.
Oh, yay.
Good job.
Stock up on that.
Yeah.
And the hairspray, too, because it has like a setting that you can do light, medium, or hard hold hair.
Can I have some?
Yes. I mean, if I'd been thinking, I would have brought you guys awesome. So I will send it to you guys. I know. That's the least I could
do. We're all about the swag here.
Okay. I'm going to swag you guys out.
How about we come? Well, come have some lunch soon.
Oh, that would be so cool.
I want to see the boys.
I know. Yeah.
Okay. Next
Wait, no,
voicemail.
But Cindy didn't say her favorite product.
Oh, yeah,
products.
Sorry. Done.
Well, on the show, we use a lot of Benefit, I think, on, you know, remember the Georgia Peach, Dandelion?
I still use that.
I love that.
And CG loves that Dandelion because, why?
Because it's natural.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have
you
a high
put that
pigment.
All over my face. I had a Dixie Pilot. Like, that was like basically my powder was the Dandelion.
And the Georgia Peach, but they don't make Georgia Peach anymore. It's
they
like,
don't?
No. And it's like the person that makes Georgia Peach is going to be like, you know, it's
that's
great.
That's the one because I remember.
Or maybe it was Georgia Peach.
I think it was Georgia Peach.
It was Georgia Peach.
Because a lot of blushes have so much pigment.
Yeah.
And the Benefit has, it's very light. And you'd have to build it up. In fact, I remember Joni saying, it's really hard on certain people. You can't really even see it on camera. But I used it
for
today.
You, yeah. I love it. Yeah. And it's just a good highlight too for underneath the eyes, kind of pops up of the, because it's orange. So it kind of cancels out a lot of the blue.
Oh.
But yeah. And then
Georgia Peach. I have one.
What's your
still.
Favorite foundation now?
I know I don't.
For HD cameras.
Well, you know, I use a lot of the It Cosmetic CC cream right now, especially on Jimmy Kimmel, because I do a lot of the men. I don't do Jimmy Kimmel. Stephanie Fowler does. And actually, she has a great product for hand sanitizer. It's a hands-down hand sanitizer. It's all natural. I like anything that's natural. I like anything that's like vegan line, that's less harsh, less chemicals. But then there's some actresses that like certain things. So you tend to go for that. But I like Tarte a lot.
What's your favorite foundation?
I like Tarte.
Tarte?
Tarte, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I like Jouer too sometimes, like the tinted moisturizers a lot. I mean, NARS is, it depends. NARS is good for certain skin types. I use a lot of AJ Crimson's for darker skin types.
Really?
So now that's what I do. I do a lot of like the CC creams or the BB creams and also the primers beforehand, you know, and then the foundation.
Nice. Good to know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's next?
Hi. My name is Kara. I was wondering who was the first celebrity client you've ever worked with?
First celebrity client.
Do you remember you did Paris Hilton a lot?
Yeah.
Troy.
Yeah. But you, Dixie Chicks was your first thing, right?
So I had an agent at the time and she had called me to do Natalie, the lead singer of the Dixie Chicks, to do her colors.
Or
I was
the
doing
Chicks.
Her color.
Now they're just, are they just called
now
the
just
Chicks?
The Chicks, yeah. And so I was doing Natalie's hair for like a year, I think I was doing her color. And then one day she's like, we're thinking about taking a hairstylist on tour. And I was like, I don't know why she said that. And she's like, you wouldn't want to go, would you? And I was like, well, I don't know. Maybe I would. I was like, never thought about it. She's like, well, just think about it, you know, let me know. And I was like, okay. And then the next time I colored her hair, she's like, why don't you come out, you know, for the first leg of our tour, which I think was all just US. And it's just, I think it was just a week or a couple of weeks or something. And it was so much fun. It was so much fun.
Aw, I bet.
Got to go everywhere. That. Got to do all their hair. They opened presents with the president one day. And they're like, can you do our hair for this? And I was like, sure. And then music videos and red carpet stuff. And then we just became friends. And they were just so sweet and kind.
Very cool.
So
fabulous. But yes, you've done quite a few celebrities, right?
Mine was Rachel Bilson. Do you guys even remember Silk Stockings?
Yes, totally.
Well, that was also my first department head.
I think I auditioned for it.
Did you really?
Yes.
I think Johnny Messer was on that.
Probably.
Not blinking.
Down in San Diego.
Yeah, no.
It goes on.
And then, do you guys remember Lucky Vanis by any chance, the Diet Coke guy?
Oh yeah.
That guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, that was like back in the non-union days. But, you know, so my career just sort of, you know, went from non-union world to like the OC in a heartbeat. So like you guys were probably my big names.
Aw.
Well, you're at Jimmy Kimmel now.
Oh, yeah, now I'm a Jimmy Kimmel. Now I do Shaun White.
Did you?
I did.
Oh, that's cool.
I know, it was so cool. Because he's like my, I told him, I'm like, you're like my Tom Brady. But
Really?
You can't geek out on shows like that. You have to, like, you know,
play it cool.
Play cool. So
I love it.
I bet he was nice.
Very nice. Yes.
That's awesome.
Oh, guys, thank you so much for coming.
Yeah.
We could do this. We have a couple more seasons to go.
Come
so,
back.
So we'll need you to come back.
We would love
That'd
to come
be
back.
So much fun.
Yeah, but I just want to see you anyways.
I know.
Me too.
Yes.
Yes. Now things are subsiding a little bit. Don't want to knock. Oh, knock on wood.
Please,
we can
gone.
Get together and be social.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You guys are so close now.
Hey, yep. hey, are you interested in saying your most famous line from the OC?
What?
What's your? How'd you get the job? What was your audition line?
Oh, I gotta pee. Gotta pee.
Guess what? I gotta pee too.
Pee break. On that note.
On that note, everybody.
Thank you so much for listening. Follow, rate, and review. Welcome to the OC Bitches, wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you like to watch us, check it out on YouTube.
Bye, bitches.
Bye, bitches. Gotta pee.
When Shopify says you can sell anywhere, they mean it. Ooh, hold up. Just got a new sale. Whoa, Shopify doesn't mind if you're at sea level. Or on top of the world.
Whether you're selling carabiners or crop tops, start selling with Shopify today and join the platform simplifying commerce for millions of businesses worldwide. This is Possibility, powered by Shopify. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/podcast22. Shopify.com/podcast22.
Hi, everyone. It's Rabia Chaudhry.
And I'm Ellen Marsh.
And we have a new podcast called Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case. As you know, I am a very smart lawyer.
You are. You're so well-respected in the entire world. You know everything.
Thank you so much.
And as you know, I am a famous Broadway star. Gorgeous. I sing like a nightingale.
Well, yes. At least that's what your mom says. Just kidding. This is Ellen Marsh. And
that's I'm Rabia.
Rabia. But we are teaming up to bring you a show like you have never heard before.
True crime meets talk show. Nobody's done it. We're going to do it. We're going to do the impossible. And it's the two things that I love. Ellen, I think you'll like it too.
What? True crime and talking?
Yeah.
I'm there. Every other week, we will have a guest talking about whatever true crime case they are obsessed with. We have a list, everything from the Lacey Peterson murder.
Yeah, some of the most famous cases you've ever heard of. Obviously, like JonBenet Ramsey, the West Memphis Three.
Chris Watts, Khalif Browder.
Elisa Lam, Madeleine McCain.
Sandra Bland, the Springfield Three. The list goes on and on. But they are all cases that you know, and we are going to dive in deep with someone else and just talk about them.
No. We're going to solve the case, Ellen.
That's right. We're going to solve the case. So subscribe to Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case wherever you get your podcasts.